Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to a dream than any other non-military American in this century. We are back. It's 13 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our special guest is our very good friend, Steve Martin. Let me tell you a little bit about Steve. He's Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer of a company called The Positive Way that he owns with his lovely wife, Catherine. Steve is a seasoned professional manager, author, consultant, patented inventor, and problem-solving expert. And he and his wife are also the author of an outstanding book called Talk to Me, How to Create Positive Loving Communications. If you've been listening to my show for very long, you know him as an outstanding small business resource. You know him as our friend, and he's a member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust. Steve, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's really a delight to be here.
It's always a pleasure to have you with us, sir. And I continue to be amazed at the proliferation of great ideas that comes out of your head and out of your newsletter. Tell our audience a little bit about your newsletter. I want to make sure we let them know about that.
Well, thanks, Jim. Being a problem-solving expert, I can't look at anything and not find a solution for it. So after
it's a cross that you bear, isn't it?
it literally is, Jim. After 25 years in the business, got a lot of things that I like to share with people. So
exactly.
I do publish a newsletter. Best way for folks to get it is on the internet, and hopefully you have a lot of people listening on the internet. But if they'll go to my website at positive-way.com/business.
Right.
And on that site, you can connect for a free electronic newsletter that I send out periodically. Plus, I have an archive of articles, including, for example, this one on painless planning that we're going to talk about today.
Right. And I'll tell you what, folks, that's an outstanding resource, the newsletter that Steve sends you. It comes to you on paper, in the mail, and that's the way I get mine, and it's just absolutely full of good information, a lot of which we cover on the show, but a lot of it there's a lot of information that we don't cover on the show. And as Steve said, one of them is his topic that he calls painless planning. Now, one of the things I said earlier in the hour before you got here, Steve, is painless planning almost sounds like an oxymoron.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. So we want you to explain yourself here, Steve.
Well, I must note that when you look at the print version of the title for this, painless is in quotes.
Yeah. Well, I agree, because, you know, when you say planning to a lot of people, they start running for the hills.
Oh, it's a relative term, absolutely. But, you know, the old saying is absolutely true. If you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there.
Yep.
And I see that all the time in clients that I work with and organizations that I do pro bono work with, and I find that they just don't have a clear vision of where they're headed.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they think they do, they don't even have the faintest clue on how to get there.
Right.
So what I'm really talking about here is trying to take the simplest road toward creating an effective plan. And it doesn't mean that it has to be 400 pages long, but it has to be something that's workable.
It has to be something on paper. It could start with one sheet, right?
Exactly.
And Steve, my audience knows that that we've covered business planning on the show quite a bit before. We have a guy named Tim Berry who's been with us a lot, and Tim is an expert in business planning. He's actually developed software for business planning that you can do on your computer. And what Steve and I are talking about could include a business plan, but it doesn't necessarily have to be about a business plan, does it, Steve?
We're
talking about planning for anything.
That's correct, and I do highly recommend the packages such as the one Tim is doing, because it can make your life so much easier. Now, the challenge is you have to be careful not to overplan, because then you may find yourself wasting all your time creating something that you're not able to use.
Right. One of the things that you talk about is that you say that the plan should have at least three things that you pay attention to. Tell us about those.
really, I think you're looking for one thing is setting your goals in terms of financial measures or other definable accomplishments, and then chart the road that you're going to get there, at least with some milestones along the way,
mm-hmm.
and then allocate your resources in the near term so that you can integrate it with your strategic plan.
All right.
Now, let me just give you a very simple example. Say your objective is to go on vacation in Hawaii in October of this year. Well, that's an objective. Now, your milestones for that plan may be, for example, that by June you will have saved half the money necessary and have identified where you're going to get the other half.
Mm-hmm.
And by August you'll have the balance, and September you've got your books, your tickets completely booked. You may have actually done your shopping months ahead of time. And the net result is that you know where you're going, which is Hawaii, and you know how you're going to get there, which is by air. You're not going to drive today, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
And you at least have some milestones as to where you're going to have the key things, such as your ticket, the money for your tickets and so forth, pulled in along the way. And you will have set aside time to make sure that you actually have time to make sure that you have all of the elements of getting to Hawaii taken care of.
Right. Maybe part of that would be that you've identified some of the likely resources that will provide you with the information you need for the logistics of getting there, for where you're going to stay, for what you're going to do while you're there. And maybe you've identified these resources as organizations or people who can provide you with that information so that you can be more successful when you get there.
Absolutely. Looking at one of the elements in course problem solving and planning is trying to find out who can help you.
Right.
And you've made such an excellent point that really goes a long way.
That's one of the big things that a lot of people get bogged down in when they think about planning. If they've got all these pieces of the puzzle, but they don't know a lot of them, don't expect to know all of those things, because I mean that's what all these other folks in the world are for. You know,
right.
that's what Steve and Jim and whoever are for, and you know, it could be your friend, it could be your dad, it could be your wife or whoever, and you know, use those resources, and that really should make you feel very peaceful if you recognize that. Steve, stand by, we're going to take a quick break. Folks, it's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. Stay with us. All right, we're back. It's 24 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is our good friend Steve Martin. He and his wife are the authors of the outstanding book on communication called Talk to Me, How to Create Positive, Loving Communication. Steve, take a half a minute and tell us a little bit about that book.
Well, Jim, that book is written to help people create better relationships through enhanced communication. Now, words are the lifeblood of any relationship, and over the years in business and in working with individuals and couples and other groups on the side toward helping them develop better relationships, we found out that communication is one of the major issues.
Mm-hmm.
So we have written a relatively simple book, Talk to Me, which really tells you shows you how to communicate well, even under stress and under difficult situations.
Well, it's an excellent book, folks, and it's not just for social situations. It's a good book for dealing with people in business and on all different levels, and I recommend it to you. And tell them, Steve, how they can get it.
Well, they can get it by calling The Positive Way at 1-800-664-4773, or they can visit our website at www.positive-way.com.
Okay.
And of course, you add the business on there, and you're in our business section of the site as well. And we've been selling books to businesses, actually, even though it's meant for interpersonal relationships, particularly the intimate type. We're finding that business people are finding the principles work very, very well in almost any circumstance.
Exactly. And that's the thing that I saw, and it actually, as you can imagine, with the focus of this show, that was the value that I saw in it for my audience, was that it helps them in so many different ways. And of course, small business owners have their family and their friends around them. I mean, what would we do without the people who love us? You and I both know that.
That's right.
And so it's a very, very thin line between the intimate communication and the business communication, especially if you, if your intimate is your bookkeeper or your boss
or your banker.
Right.
In fact, my next newsletter is going to be talking strictly about business relationships and how to have a good relationship with your banker and your family and all those other stakeholders that you have associated with your business.
Absolutely. We'll look forward to that. I certainly will. Let's get back to planning, Steve, and talk about this a little bit more. And what we were saying when we took the last break is one of the ways that really, one of the things that maybe we don't appreciate are the other resources that are available, especially with the internet now. If you're trying to accomplish something, if you're trying to move a mountain, don't try to move that mountain by yourself. There are lots of other resources out there that are specialists in moving mountains.
That's exactly right, Jim, and a lot of it doesn't cost you a dime, which is the true advantage of it, because, of course, today we all have to pinch our pennies. But one of the tremendous resources that I've felt has been totally underutilized by most businesses that I've worked with is the vendor resource.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if you need to buy a new piece of equipment for your business, and I don't care whether it's $1,000 or a $2,000 copy machine or $1 million machine tool for your production operation. Of course, as I've mentioned before in the cost-effective methods that we've talked about, you really need to do multiple bids on any kind of equipment like that. If it's a significant purchase for you, you need multiple bids on it.
Exactly.
Well, how do you determine what the best specifications are and how to really plan the acquisition of a piece of equipment? My recommendation is that you go to the vendors. Talk to your salespeople and say, here's my situation. I need to buy one of these machines, a doohickey that does that.
Mm-hmm.
What do you recommend, and how am I going to make the best decision so that I can plan for success in this regard?
And find somebody you can trust and get them to help you develop a plan for establishing some criteria, some specifications.
Absolutely. And sometimes the vendors will help you in that regard, and otherwise you may just have to sit down and do it yourself or have even a consultant help you for an hour or two.
Exactly.
You know, a small amount of time is worth an awful lot. Sometimes.
You may know everything that you need to know about setting those specs, or you may need some help, as Steve said. And this is an example of where a plan would be involved in something as relatively simple as acquiring a piece of equipment.
Sure, and I can give you an example when we come back if you'd like.
Thank you, Steve. Folks, it's 29 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Steve Martin. Stay with us. We'll be right back. The phone number is 888-822-8255. All right, welcome back, heroes. It's 33 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is our good friend Steve Martin, and Steve is the Executive Vice President of The Positive Way, a company that he operates with his wife, Catherine, and they are the authors of an outstanding book called Talk to Me, How to Create Positive, Loving Communication. Steve is a tremendous business resource, and he has an outstanding newsletter that I recommend to you. I'm going to get him to tell us more about that in just a few minutes. Again, how you can get that newsletter, and it does come to you on paper and rather than electronically. Steve, we've been talking about painless planning, and you actually have come up with 8 things to think about to make sure that your planning is painless.
Yeah.
And the first one that you talk about is deciding what you want to accomplish. And we were just talking a minute ago. You gave the example of it could be something as simple as acquiring a piece of equipment or something like that.
Right. And let me give you an example on that, Jim. I worked just recently with a two-person company. Relatively small, relatively low revenues, but, you know, I think as a consultant I saved them a lot of money in just a couple of hours. The proprietor called me in, very entrepreneurial guy, really liked, and said, I've been approached by this major vendor with a revolutionary piece of equipment that can change my business, and it's only $50,000. And this is where I think I can use it, and this is where it might fit into my plan, and what do you think? Well, in just a couple of hours, we analyzed his business and really figured out where he wanted to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
and determined with a little bit of calculation that although the piece of equipment was really marvelous and great to look at, it didn't fit into his business plan.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? We ended up building his business plan right there in a couple of hours, because the product mix that he had and wanted to have for his company really wouldn't support the investment of this piece of equipment. He was talking about adding another $1,000 a month of fixed overhead to his business, and that was a lot of money for a small guy.
And the scary thing is, this guy was about to make that commitment just because he'd gotten excited about a thing.
Oh, he was ready to do it right away.
Well, good for him that he didn't do it. Good for him that he had this common sense to get another opinion. And obviously, there was something in the back of his mind that told him, you know, I can't be trusted with this thing alone.
Well, that's right. And part of
I need somebody to sit in with me on this.
And part of the problem was there wasn't another qualified vendor that he could talk to.
Right.
And, of course, they would have been trying to sell anyway. You do have to recognize the motives on things.
Exactly.
Like
and
that.
As a small company, he probably didn't have a bevy of executives, people who were as smart or smarter than him that could help him with that.
No, there were two of them.
Yeah.
There were two people, and his banker, and I was fortunate in this case that his banker suggested that we chat for a while. And that was it. Very quick, very easy, and we generated on paper the outline of a plan very quickly, which is really my number two item in painless planning is don't over-plan.
All right. Now, that's something that to me seems for most people that you wouldn't have to warn them about, over-planning. Most of us under-plan.
Well, I think this is January, and we're talking about planning. So I think it's really simple. You just take a look at how often you dusted off last year's plan and compared it
right.
to your actuality. If you didn't dust it off, if you didn't look at it, there are two options here. One is you overplanned and didn't need it, or the other is you've got to wake up and take a look at it.
Right.
So if you get too big a book and it's too complicated, that's over-planning because you may not actually be able to use it.
Let's talk about on something. Let's take a project rather than a business plan. Let's just take a project like we've been talking about. What are some examples of what you would do that would be over-planning for say, a project? Develop analysis paralysis?
Well,
you just spend so much time analyzing it that you just basically lock up?
And sure, that's possible. And I think when that happens, it's telling me something that you don't know how to make the decision, or there are hidden issues there that are preventing you from doing it.
Or there are some people who just can't make a decision.
That's true. And they don't know how to do it. And believe me, it is a learned skill.
Right. Well, but some people just it's their nature, it's their personality to not be able to make a decision, and they need someone to help them. They're always worrying about whether they're going to make the right decision or not. And your process, to me, is critical for those people because they need the steps of a plan to be able to go back and to verify to themselves over and over again that they've taken all the steps, they've conducted all the steps to make sure that they've made the right decision.
Right. And if you have somebody that's having a tough time making a decision or doesn't see clearly in the future, it's great if you can get someone else on the team, either an insider in the organization or even an outsider. Bring in an advisory board or just even a friend to help you talk through the issues.
Mm-hmm.
And when you set an objective or a milestone, I like to ask at least one question, and that is, why? Why am I doing this?
Right. Good point. Steve, stand by. We're going to take a break. Folks, it's 39 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. When we come back, we're going to talk about cross-functional teams. I'm going to get Steve to tell us how that works in a small business. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. All right, we're back. It's 44 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is our good friend Steve Martin. He's a member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust. He's the author, along with his wife Catherine, of a book called Talk to Me, How to Create Positive, Loving Communication, which you can get from their website and at their 800 number, which he's going to give you in just a second, which is also where you can go to order his newsletter, which is absolutely dynamite, folks. I recommend you check it out. Steve, go ahead and give us that information.
Yes, you can go to the website at www.positive-way.com/business. That'll take you to everything that we do.
Mm-hmm. All right, good. And you want to give the 800 number out?
800 number for the book is 1-800-664-4773.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate that. And that's where they can go. They can order the newsletter, right?
That'll take them to
the
website as well.
Yeah, yep. And the cost of the newsletter is?
Well, right now the electronic version is free, and the Business Solutions is no cost to qualified subscribers. Otherwise, it's a fee that we're working on right now.
I got you. Okay.
$5 an issue is what we have set at this point.
I see. And we're well worth every penny of that. Steve, let's talk about you talk about something in your piece called Painless Planning, called using and facilitating cross-functional teams. What do you mean by that?
Well, basically what I'm saying is that you really need a broad spectrum of ideas and approaches toward planning when you set out to build your plan. As you had mentioned earlier in the show, sometimes people have a tough time making decisions,
mm-hmm.
and other people have a tough time seeing the future. So what I really like to have set up is at least a planning meeting, where one person is going to be in charge of getting you to the end goal, which is to create a plan. That's their primary job. And the other people are the resources to make sure that you get the information that you need. And just for example, as I mentioned earlier, with the small business owner who was looking at a really sexy piece of equipment mm-hmm. for his business, he really needed someone else who came in with a cold, analytical view.
Jaundiced eye.
To clarify it, mm-hmm. right.
So when you say using facilitated cross-functional teams, that in layman's terms for the average person out there, what you mean is making sure that you've got somebody from just about every discipline and every viewpoint that you can amass to be part of your team. And if you're just a little one-man shop or a two-person company, or maybe you have three employees or whatever, and you're the only person, you're the only manager, maybe you need to have a friend who knows a little bit about business, maybe your CPA, maybe your attorney, maybe your banker,
exactly.
But people who can contribute a little different perspective to all of those and have a little brainstorming session with them.
Exactly, and what I mean by facilitators, I mean there should be someone there who's running the meeting to make sure you're on track. And it may not be you as the business owner or the president.
Maybe it probably shouldn't be you. Because you've probably got a facilitator, ideally, would be somebody who really doesn't have an agenda.
That's exactly right, other than to get the job done.
Yeah, to make sure that the words get out and that nobody gets defensive, nobody gets aggressive or whatever. And that's one of the things that has been pointed out on the show before when you do brainstorming, is that if you have identified a session as a brainstorming session, no one's suggestion gets shot down during that brainstorming session.
Yeah, that's if they do, it's a cardinal rule against brainstorming.
That's
incidentally
right.
If people want the true guidelines for effective brainstorming, they're all on my website.
Folks, I told you. Didn't I tell you that he was an outstanding resource? Thank you, Steve. I appreciate that. And they can get that for free, can't they?
Oh, absolutely. Everything on my website is free.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything is.
I like your example of cross-functional teams, because that's a good idea. I think small business owners, unfortunately, a lot of small business owners don't do this, because if they don't have all their cornflakes together, they're not, you know, they don't have all the answers. They think they should have all the answers.
Right.
And they don't want to tell their banker that they don't have all the answers. And sometimes their accountant, they've met with their accountant before, and their accountant may not be very much help, because a lot of times accountants won't help you make a decision.
That's right. But, you know, if you ask the right question, sometimes you can get the right answer.
Well, that's right. And that's the reason why I like your idea of cross-functional teams. And of course, that term is used, when you say cross-functional teams, that is especially used in larger companies where you've got a number of disciplines within the company.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It does make a difference, and you know, if you're a small organization, you just have to create your own.
Exactly.
Because you do have to make the right decisions.
Right. Let's talk about, and we just got to, let's get started on this subject, because we'll have to take a break here in a second. What about manual and standard formats?
Well, you know, that's where the package that, is it Tim?
Tim Berry, yes.
Tim Berry, that's where that kind of package really helps you out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure his is flexible enough so that you can use only what you need of it. But you really have to have a pattern or some format that you're going to follow.
And it could be one that you develop yourself.
Absolutely.
Something that's worked for you in the past, right?
Sure. Just an outline of what's important to you, what milestones do you need to have in your plan.
Or ask someone else, one of the members of your team, your cross-functional team.
Sure.
All right, stand by, Steve. Folks, we're going to take a break. It's 50 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back with our good friend Steve Martin in just a few minutes. Stay with us. All right, we're back. It's 54 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is our very good friend, Steve Martin. Steve is the author, along with his lovely wife, Catherine, of the book called Talk to Me, How to Create Positive Love and Communication. He also has an outstanding newsletter I recommend you check out. It's available from his website, go ahead, Steve.
www.positive-way.com/business.
Yes, and folks, if you're on my website and you want to go to Steve, just look for him on my Brain Trust section of my website, and there's a link there directly to this website he just gave you. Steve, we've been talking about painless planning. Folks, this is some thoughts that Steve has put in one of his most recent newsletters, and one of the most important things that I want to point out is planning is something we all do. We may not recognize it. We may not be all that conscious of it. But if you and another person decide where to go to lunch, you've made a plan. And somehow in your conversation, you ruled out certain things, and you one of you decided you had a preference for this, and the other one said you didn't like that, and so you compromised on something else. That's part of it. That's a planning process, isn't it?
It is. It certainly is. And you really need to do the same for your business, because you need to define where you want to be a year or two or 3 years down the road and set those objectives to get there. Because if you don't have the objectives, you just won't achieve them.
Absolutely.
And if they're not written down, they're not as real.
One of the things you talk about, Steve, you talk about the make it fit syndrome. What is that?
Well, one of the things, and particularly in businesses that are striving to be bigger, better, more profitable than they are today, quite often will set huge stretch goals where they really want to have a tremendous objective in the end. And as I say here, they'll try and use a shoehorn to jam 7 pounds of cost and effort into a 5-pound budget limit.
Right.
So they're really, what they're doing is shooting themselves in the foot by underestimating and not planning for the amount of effort it'll take to make things happen.
Mm-hmm.
A good plan recognizes that, yeah, that's a tough goal, and yes, we're going to have to work hard to make it, and we're going to have to spend the money and time and effort, and this is what it is. It's realistic in that regard. Goals can be really a push, but be realistic in how much effort it's going to take to make it happen. Otherwise, it just frustrates everybody, and you think the plan is a bunch of garbage.
Right. Yeah. One of the things about it, it is possible to set yourself up for failure in your plan, isn't it?
Absolutely, and that's a good way to do it, is just to expect too much of it, and the other is not to have it consistent with your corporate mission.
Right. What about planning for the planning process?
It takes time to do all this work, whether it's a day or a month or, you know, however many hours.
Mm-hmm.
You really have to set the time aside, and if you haven't done your plan for 99 yet, you need to estimate how long it's going to take you to do it and carve a block out and recognize that everyone's going to have to take that time away from their other work and make it happen.
And not just how much time, but when that time is going to be spent.
You need to schedule it. In
other words, weekends, whatever.
Exactly. You have to create a plan for it, because otherwise what happens is everybody's overworked anyway. Now you say we're going to do a plan, so it comes on top of everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's unfair to people.
Right.
And it's often a waste of time in your planning, because you're just not going to get a good product out of it.
One of the things that small business owners, I think, need to pay attention to is trying to plan when the alligators are snapping at you during business hours.
Oh,
you can't do that, and that's the reason why if you see small business owners the lights on in their business when they're not open, that's probably what they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Steve, we've got to wrap it up. Thank you very much for being with us. You did a great job again, as usual.
Well, thanks, Jim. You do a marvelous job, and we're certainly glad you're out there for us as the Small Business Advocate.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Talk to you later.
All right, folks,
we've got to wrap it up for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.